Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover with John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery's show, hanging out here on this Friday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Honestly, apps how you catch us on the go. Social media at 929 The Game. At JMCH316 on Twitter, at DD Lewis on his personal Twitter page. Don't forget Rank'em coming up at 10:40 here this evening. This, of course, United Liquor Little Things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. We've been going through these pro football focus lists. So tonight, NFL defensive line rankings. Okay? Now, the Falcons did not come in at number one, shockingly. So this is 2023 NFL defensive line rankings. The number one defensive line, as they have it in the NFL, is the Philadelphia Eagles. Where'd they end up? Did they make the playoffs?
They were hanging out in Vegas, like right around February. What was that?
What game was that?
Oh, was that the Super Bowl?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it was.
Well, okay, but the 49ers were number two. They didn't have any quarterbacks. So they obviously didn't make the playoffs.
They were playing, I think it was kind of like a conference championship, maybe.
Oh, but they didn't have a quarterback, though.
Yeah, but their defense.
Oh. So they were in the conference title game.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure. So anyway, where do you think the Falcons came in, Day-Day? Now, remember, we talked about the idea that the Falcons had three of the top 32
right.
interior defensive linemen. Grady, David Onyemata, and Calais Campbell.
Yeah.
And Grady was the third of those three. So with that, and they didn't have any edge players.
Right.
So no edge, but three guys in the top 32 defensive line. Where do you think they came in at?
Oh, man. And obviously this is for 2023, so I'm assuming they're incorporating the addition. So I'm going to say between 12 and 15.
27th.
Jeez.
Three separate Atlanta defenders made our list of the 32 best interior defenders in the NFL, but the combined age of the three will be 97 years by the time the season kicks off. And it is more than likely that Grady Jarrett, Calais Campbell, and David Onyemata are all toward the tail ends of their careers. This combined with the fact that the projected starting edge defenders both graded outside of the top 80 at their position in 2022, is not a promising sign for the Falcons' defensive line in 2023. Again, I continue to say, and I will hopefully be wrong in all of this, but I continue to beat the drum and pound on the idea of it's a lot of hopefulness, wishful thinking, hope and prayers, hope and change, and all these kinds of things when we talk about our pass rush. It's not coincidence that the Philadelphia Eagles and the 49ers are the two best defensive lines, and they were the two teams in the NFC Conference title game. Even without their quarterback and this, that. Because of the best line of scrimmage team in the NFL on both sides of the ball. And that's what, again, that is my big fear. And we'll talk to Joe Patrick coming up in about 15 minutes from right now. But it's my big fear about what this team is going to be. I think they're going to be good on offense and this and that and blah, blah, blah. I don't have a problem with that. But we got a sacked quarterback at some point. 39 sacks is where we need to be in that area. Not for a two-year run. We need to be there this year. Well, you know, Caden Ellis has had one good year in four. Well, Calais, okay, he's 36 years old. Well, Grady and Onyema, okay. Hopefully they're not at the end of their careers. Well, you know, Ebuka, okay, I'm hoping big time that he breaks out, but he had two sacks last year. Well, D'Angelo Malone has done nothing. By the way, I was talking to Jarvis today. D'Angelo Malone's lost some weight. Not necessarily good for an edge defender when you're trying to get off the ball. I have my big concerns about this. And I can understand why, that even though they had three interior defenders in the top 32, when you don't have an edge player that's even in the top 32, again, you got to have that fire breather coming off the edge. You got to have that. You have to have some that you have to have an accumulation of those sack totals. That's the way the league works. That's how the league operates. That if you can only do one thing on defense, and that is sack the quarterback, you can be a playoff defense. Forget what your run stats are, your pass stats, and all those other kinds. If you can sack the quarterback in today's NFL, you can be a playoff defense. And that's my big fear about where we're at right now with this, is I still have concerns about this pass rush. Hopefully by, you know, week five, I'll feel better about this, but it's still my big concern. Still my biggest concern about this team going into the season. Can we continue to get after the quarterback? And hopefully, you know, the way it played out in 2016 is that we got big leads on teams and they had to do nothing but throw against us. And that's why Vic Beasley was able to lead the league in sacks. Hopefully that trend happens again. That we have a dynamic offense, we get out front, we build up a big lead, and then teams have to, you know, go out and start hucking it all over the field to try to catch up to us. Hopefully that's the plan. That will certainly make our lives very easy at that point. But I don't think that this is an unfair ranking for the Falcons' defensive line as a whole. When you don't have that guaranteed fire breather coming off the edge, it's always going to hold you back. Always going to hold. I mean, look at even at some of the other teams that are at the top. Okay? The Commanders, they have guys that can sack the quarterback. The Dolphins have guys that can sack the quarterback. The Steelers, they've got a guy that's, you know, led the league before. Right? The Browns. Now they've got a fire breather coming off the edge. Buffalo, Dallas, they've got those fire breathers. We don't. We might have some good players on our defensive line, but we don't have that guaranteed fire breather that's out there. All right, Falcons did make a couple of moves today, and we'll talk to Joe Patrick about one of these moves. A tweet from Ian Rappaport says, after working out at mandatory minicamp, the Falcons are signing former Minnesota kicker, and that was Golden Gophers kicker, Matt Trickett, to a three-year contract. He can take some kickoffs from Bradley Pinion and Younghoe Koo in the preseason, and Atlanta can work to develop him. So, interesting idea about Trickett, who is signed to a three-year contract, and he'll be a practice squad player. Make no bones about it. I mean, he'll get plenty of work in the preseason, but he'll be a practice squad player when all is said and done, because he'll have Pinion as their punter, Younghoe Koo as their kicker. But the interesting part about this is that he signed a three-year contract to be on the practice squad. So I don't know what to think about that. Again, it's, you know, in the preseason, okay. I mean, is kicking and punting all that difficult or whatever? But, again, he's got a three-year contract for the Falcons, so hopefully they can develop him and see what he can, you know, do in the long term. And maybe they're, you know, starting to come up with their plan. But, again, they just signed Younghoe Koo to a five-year deal. And I love that. I love the fact they signed Koo to a five-year deal. That way you don't have to worry about him. You don't have to Mickey Mouse around with kickers on all one-year deals. Sign Younghoe Koo to a five-year deal, I'm all for it. But interesting that they signed this guy to a three-year deal. Falcons also signed wide receiver Chris Blair, who last played for the XFL's DC Defenders. He caught 26 passes for 494 yards, 22.8 yards per reception in the XFL. Well, again, I couldn't tell you a single thing about Chris Blair. Again, you're trying to get as many bodies into, you know, training camp as possible, get your roster up to 90 players, and let's see what happens. You know, again, remember Jared Bernhardt from last year? You know, it was a good story, and he found his way onto the team and all that kind of stuff. Maybe Chris Blair can find his way onto the team. They've signed a few guys from the XFL, so I give them credit for that. They're looking at all, you know, options that are available out there, but they did sign, you know, him to a, you know, they have signed a couple few players from this XFL, even though they lost $60 million in the XFL. But that's kind of the thing is, you know, you can find maybe a pipeline of some players with all of this. Taquan Graham talking about, you know, again, as he obviously as he is, you know, recovering from his injury. And, you know, look, it's a situation where, you know, Taquan Graham is maybe getting lost in the shuffle with some of the defensive linemen that we have, but he was a full participant at the mandatory mini camp. He said, quote, "Like I was in a dungeon for months just working. It felt good, felt surprisingly good. I felt strong and confident and good moving forward." Well, let's hope he can get back to that level where we started to see him climb up and he was a more regular piece on the defensive line and he was playing really well next to Grady. And then obviously the injury, you know, last year derailed all of that. But with Onyemata, Grady, Taquan Graham, you know, Calais Campbell, whether he plays inside, outside, look, I think we have a good rotation of players on the inside of that defensive line. And we haven't really, there have been many, many times where it's been Grady and a, you know, cast of characters as far as our defensive line goes.
Grady and the gang.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's been at times, right? I mean, you know, it's been all these jabrones, you know, that have stood next to Grady. Well, now it looks like we might have a few guys that we might actually have a rotation of guys that we can play in those spots. Now, if we can just get that fire breather off the edge and it do something, again, the potential is there, right? Like, we can see the potential is there with some of these players. Let's just hope that everything kind of comes together with it. Let's hope that it all kind of finds its way together in all of this. So, I mean, look, Taquan Graham, he certainly, you know, showed last year signs and flashes. Hopefully he gets back to that level. Hopefully he continues, you know, to grow. Because, again, we still got some of these guys that are on one-year contracts and things like that. So there are still a lot of players that are not here necessarily for the long term. Taquan Graham is one of those guys that you drafted, and, you know, you hope that he is a guy that can stay here. And, again, you know, we talk about those guys that, you know, get to second-year contracts. Hopefully he's a guy that's worthy of a second-year contract. Because too often we haven't had guys like that. Too often we haven't had enough guys that, you know, can get to that second-year contract. You know, Isaiah Oliver was a guy that, okay, he only warranted a one-year, $1.25 million second-year contract. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about guys who can be a building block for something for years to come, not just on a one-year show-me kind of deal. All right, speaking of the Falcons, when we get back, we'll talk to our Falcons reporter, Joe Patrick. He will join us here next. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show coming to you live on this Friday evening with you as Falcons mandatory mini camp just wrapped up here a couple days ago, and we get ready for a real training camp, that danger zone time of the year where hopefully coaches don't have to take any kind of phone calls from players getting in trouble. But certainly training camp coming up here at the end of July, we will be all over it. And our Falcons reporter for 92.9 The Game, Joe Patrick, joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. You can follow Joe on his personal Twitter page, at JAPatrick200. Joe, as always, my friend, appreciate a few minutes on the show with me tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I always enjoy our little talks here. It's always I feel like me and you, you know, sometimes we can have a nice little heart-to-heart here about whatever team we're talking about, so happy to come on.
Yeah, I miss those late-night sports flashes when we would just get into all kinds of discussions. So the good old days. But anyway, let me ask you the question that I asked my audience last night, and I asked Dukes and Bell. If I tell you over under 475 pass attempts for Desmond Ridder, what would you say?
Oh gosh, these are large numbers we're talking to here. What does that even equate to on a per game basis? Do you know?
Let me put it this way: he threw 115 passes in four games last year. That would put him on a pace for 488.5 pass attempts over the course of a 17 game season.
It's tough. I'm gonna say over, just because I think that, generally speaking, he's probably going to have to end up throwing the ball a little bit more than he did in some of the games last year. But I would say, though, Chuck, is that I think the less is more in this respect. The less that Desmond Ridder has to throw the ball, that generally means the game script is going better for the Falcons. Even when they had Mariota last year, anytime you were kind of getting above the 25 pass attempts number was kind of danger zone-ish. You kind of wanted to stick in that lower realm. That's just the way that this Falcons offense is built. It's not this kind of high-volume passing attack that we see, you know, other teams around the league doing, and certainly some in the in their conference or in the division have done for a long time. So I'll take the over, but I think that the, you know, less would probably be more ideal for the Falcons team.
Yeah, and look, I took the under last night on that because I think it will be close. I think he'll be somewhere around 450 attempts. But to your point, Joe, you know, this is still going to be a run-heavy, run-first offense. And I think the other thing that comes into play is I still don't think we have a complete grasp about how good our pass blocking is up front. I'm fine with Jake. I'm fine with Chris Lindstrom. But again, Bergeron playing guard for the first time, Drew Dolman is an undersized center, and Caleb McGarry, for all the things that he did last year, that was mostly in the run game, still having some issues in the pass protection. I just wonder that how much trust they still put into this offensive line to pass block.
Well, I totally agree with you there, but I think one of the reasons why I'm saying over here is because of some, one of the things I've seen in this OTAs and mini camp that we've been able to watch, and granted, you got to keep the grain of salt here, is that Arthur Smith has explicitly stated that it's a passing camp, basically, which is what you can do when you're not making contact, right? Mm-hmm. But they seems to me like been working heavy on a screen game, a bubble screen game, especially when you've got these kinds of weapons like the Falcons have with the Cordarrelle Patterson and Bijan Robinson, and even a Tyler Allgeier, but mainly those other two who are more pass catcher types, type of backs. And we've seen a lot of personnel packages and formations with at least two of those guys on the field at the same time. And I think that one of the things they're going to want to try to exploit by having those guys out there is getting the ball in their hands in space really quickly. So I think that that will also kind of reduce the amount of processing that you ask, you know, Desmond Ridder to do. And maybe those, some of those throws are even checked into based on some of the looks that they get at the line of scrimmage. But I think that that will be a bigger part of their offense than what they showed last year.
So, Joe, the other part about this, too, is I really do believe that there is a chance that we could see two 1,000-yard rushers on this team. And if you look, Tyler Allgeier had only 7 starts last year, only really 210 carries, and still ran for over 1,000 yards last season. And, I think when you look at the rotation of these running backs, I think that there is going to be a more slot receiver type of role for Cordarrelle Patterson. He'll still get some carries, but I think with Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier, they can really lean on those guys, you know, for a lot of yards. And then obviously the offensive line, I think it's a top 5 run blocking offensive line. I think there's a definite chance that both of those guys could go for 1,000 yards this year.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think if there's any team where that would be possible, it's the Falcons team with the way that Arthur Smith likes to play. And he's so comfortable just running the ball over and over and over again. He doesn't feel any need to throw it if he doesn't have to, like we saw against the Browns last year, where he decided to just run it 14 times in a row. And yeah, you know, it's amazing. One of the things with Tyler Allgeier, and, you know, talking to Arthur Smith last year, he told me this, which was that, you know, when they were in the draft, they thought that Allgeier would be a guy that would be able to produce relatively quickly because of his ability to absorb contact, take contact, and still continue to gain yards. They knew he wasn't obviously the home run threat that they ended up getting in Bijan Robinson this year, but he was a guy that was going to be able to produce, and I think that's what you saw from him last year. He did break off a couple big runs, but even some of the biggest runs he had last year, he wasn't actually running away from defenders and actually scoring touchdowns on those. But he's still able to really read his blocks well. He's patient at times when he needs to be. And, yeah, I think that he can just grow more and more from based off of what he did last year. And then when you talk about Bijan, I mean, Bijan is a home run hitter. He is the light. I mean, this guy is – I can't wait to see him in pads, and I feel like I'm going to kind of be continuing to wait even after training camp, because, you know, I think they're going to want to hold him back, obviously not get him hurt clearly, but obviously just limit his contact in that respect. I don't know how much we'll actually see from him during the preseason games and whatnot, but just if anything, just watching him without pads, the guy is so he's electric in terms of his movement, but he's also so smooth in the way he does it. I just can't wait to see a player like him, in tandem with a player like we saw in Tyler Allgeier last year. It should be fun to watch.
Falcons reporter for 92.9 The Game, Joe Patrick, joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. All right, let's talk some defense. My concern is still, can we sack the quarterback? And look, I know we've upgraded and I know we're better and I know we have more pieces and parts and things like that, but I think that there is, in a lot of ways, a lot of hoping and wishing and thinking things can come true. I don't know that we have a handle on Ebikadi yet. Calais Campbell at some point. Father Time catches up with everybody. Maybe Onyemata and Grady Jarrett are kind of more toward the tail end of their career. I think that there's just a lot of questions about whether or not we can sack the quarterback. I don't think it'll be as bad as what it's been maybe the last couple of years, but still, mm-hmm. if we're going to be a playoff-caliber defense, you know, we've got to find somebody who comes up and becomes that fire breather coming off the edge.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And it's still a question mark, and that is, again, one of the things that we have not really been able to evaluate in the limited amount of, you know, what we've been able to see with media and attendance at some of these practices and training opportunities. You don't get a chance, you don't kind of understand how the pass rush is going to work because you don't have the pads on, you don't have the full-on pass protection. It'll be interesting to see what kind of personnel that Ryan Nielsen ends up using in certain situations, because, you know, I was actually thinking about this just this morning. Well, you know, when I'm in the shower, I'm just, you know, randomly thinking about the Falcons and, you know, what personnel they're going to use in certain situations on the field. But no, I mean, because
I'm not even going to touch that, Joe. I'm not even going to touch what's going on in the shower or anything like that.
But, you know, Ryan Nielsen was talking about it earlier this week that, you know, listen, they've got a big front four on that defensive line in their base package. They're going to be running nickel a lot. I mean, that's what we saw, honestly, a lot. And again, this is a passing camp, so it's all kind of based on what they're facing offensively, but it was a lot of, you know, the four down linemen and Troy Anderson and Caden Ellis at the linebacker positions. But you know, they have some interesting options to use in those early down situations. Yes, you've got Calais Campbell, you've got Bud Dupree, you've got some of these bigger, powerful defensive ends who can set that edge and help you stopping the run. But then when you look at the pass rush, you really kind of need to see the step ups in the second year from Arnold Ebikadi and D'Angelo Malone, quite frankly. I think that both those players are well positioned to make that leap, but Frank, we just don't really know whether it's going to happen until we actually see it with our own eyes. And hopefully when you pair David Onyemata alongside of Grady Jarrett, you can get some, you know, confusion. You can kind of wreak a little bit more havoc than you were able to on the interior portions last year, maybe get some more one-on-ones for those second year edge rushers. But I agree with you. It's certainly the biggest, like, it's the thing about this team that's going to be kind of the make or break for this defense in most respects. I mean, I think the defense will be good, but they can really be more than good if they can get that kind of pass rushing, that elevated pass rush from some of these second year players.
Yeah, that's a lot of hopefullys that you uttered in that mix. What'd you think about the signing of Matthew Trickett, who got a 3-year contract that, you know, is going to be a camp kicker and probably just a practice squad guy? But that was kind of an interesting signing. Just, you know, the fact that they gave him a 3-year contract in it just to be on the practice squad and be a backup kicker if need be.
Yeah, it is interesting. I don't really know about, like, why the you're right. It's the deal that is the most kind of befuddling part about it. It's not befuddling to see a backup kicker come in, even when you do have, you know, an established pro like Younghoe Koo, because you want to have a guy that you can rely on in a pinch who, you know, you can kind of pick up either maybe not even on the practice squad, but you can pick him up off the street if you've had him in camp and you kind of know what he can provide. I'm interested to know why this deal was made for the 3-year contract. I think that he certainly would have to have a role, maybe doing kickoffs or something like that. I know that's something Ian Rappaport tweeted about earlier today, to potentially, you know, play that role. But it seems like a lot for to have a whole roster spot just for a guy to be doing kickoffs. But who knows? Maybe that's valuable to Marquise Williams.
So, last question for you, Joe. You know, I have consistently talked about on the show that if we're going to be a good offense, this is all about the red zone. With all of the weapons that we have down deep, with the running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, all the different personnel that we have, I really feel like the season is going to hinge on whether or not we can become an elite red zone type of offense. What say you?
Yeah, I mean that's going to be really important. I thought they were actually decent last year, but I think that there is still definite room for improvement in terms of utilizing Kyle Pitts and Drake London in the red zone. It was, you know, Drake London, I don't really recall him having that many, like, you know, catches like you would expect from a big-bodied physical receiver in some of those tight areas in the red zone. But, I mean, I've certainly seen him catch some of those in some of these training sessions. Again, I know it's just kind of padless practices, but it is impressive the way that he's able to kind of get up and kind of snatch the ball out of the air, which is always the mark to me of a good receiver, a guy who's not letting the ball kind of come to him, but a guy who's like kind of snatching it out. And so you hope that those two players in particular can be utilized more. But I also think it kind of goes back to what we talked about earlier, which was that, you know, this team's running game is really going to help them in that respect. It should give some of those pass catchers some more, favorable matchups in terms of the personnel that they're facing to be able to make those receptions, those key receptions. And don't count out Desmond Ridder's running ability, too, to help in this respect. I think people forget, you know, he is decently quick. He's not the biggest guy. I know he put on some muscle, and obviously the Falcons don't want to get him getting hit necessarily. But, you know, sometimes that ability to scramble, extend the play, to get out of the pocket at the, in the red zone late, down inside the 5-yard line or whatnot can make a huge difference. So I think the Falcons certainly have the personnel, but now it comes down to, will they finally be able to execute in some of these key situations? And some of these situations are going to be, a lot more important. I think a lot of these guys kind of, last year you kind of knew there was house money you were playing with. Now there's real expectations on this team. So it's going to be interesting to see how they're able to execute under that kind of pressure this year as well.
All right, I said last question, but I'm going to throw a curveball. Sure. I was in the building last Saturday. I'm telling you, Yakimakis is just – looks like a guy that he's got that nose for the goal, and he just finds the back of the net. That was a beautiful play that he made, when the goaltender came out and tried to, make that play. Just put a move on him and just hit a beautiful shot. Boy, he's a special-looking kind of player, and as far as a guy that I think really this team needs, a guy that can just – put that ball in the back of the net, and he looks like he's that guy now, that answer.
Yeah, he's a dude. He's a dude. And, what's funny is when he had his introductory press conference, he said, "You'll learn how to pronounce my name when I start scoring the goals." And I think that's exactly what's happened. I mean, he scored them at a rate higher than any other player in MLS. The problem for him is he just hasn't played as many minutes because of injury and coming in late. So he's right there at the top of the golden boot race right now. And at this rate, I wouldn't be surprised to see him win the darn thing, even though he has missed some time. So it's really, really impressive the way that they've been able to identify a player who's been able to come in and make such a big impact.
Well, we know how to pronounce his name. It's Joe Patrick. He is our Falcons reporter for 92.9 The Game. You can check him out on his personal Twitter page, at JAPatrick200, and he joined me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Joe, my friend, as always, appreciate a few minutes. We'll chat again soon.
Always enjoy it. Thanks, Chuck.
Chuck Reed in the Kia Studio, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuck Reed Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios Friday night with you. Braves are just pounding on the Rockies. Day-Day, what does it say when the starting pitcher for the Rockies, this LeMet, I know he's lame, what does it say when he gives up 4 innings, 5 hits, 8 earned runs, and only raises his ERA by 1.5?
Really?
He only raised it by a run and a half.
Wow. I was going to say, that he's at a 13 now?
Yeah. No, he's 11 and a half.
11 and a half? Wow.
Yeah, 11, wow. 11, 5, 7.
Well, I guess because all the runs, you got to think about Darnell had two runs, so what?
Yeah,
five,
two run homers.
So five of the runs came on, or four of the runs came on homers. So
yeah, he's given up 3 homers. He gave up 3 homers in 4 innings.
Yeah, six of the runs came on homers. One run, the first run came on Ronnie. I think Ronnie bad pitch, so Ronnie scored, and then Fielder's Choice. So, yeah, he really hasn't given up, a lot of hits.
Yeah, Darno's got four RBI. Rosario's homered in the game. He's got a couple of RBI. How about this stat? Ronald Acuna Jr. is the first player in MLB history with 15 homers and 30 stolen bases in his first 70 games of a season.
Wow.
How about that number?
Wow.
And again, we've always talked about this, the speed factor of this team. You know, the idea, I've always been a proponent. I've always wanted more stolen bases out of this team.
Yeah.
And now with the new rules and everything in place, Ronnie's running wild.
Yep. And that's why I wasn't like, I know at the beginning of the year when people were wondering what the lineup would be, I said I wouldn't mind seeing Harris in the nine hole. Just because him coming behind Acuna, you know, I mean, like that speed, that back-to-back speed like that. So yeah, I was okay with it. Like getting to your point, I mean, they got some of the fastest base runners in the league.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Ronnie, Harris, Ozzie, I mean, those guys can motor around the bases. You know what I mean? So, I'm a stolen base kind of guy, right? I mean, I'm one of those old school guys. Again, when you can draw a walk and you end up in scoring position, you know, without having to get a ball out of the infield, that's what I'm looking for, you know. And then with all the mashers that they have with Olsen and Riley and Ozuna and Murphy and Darno, I mean, you got all that opportunity to just have one of those guys in scoring position to just bring him on home. Yep. So, you know, again, he's the MVP of the league right now. I don't even know who's second. I'm not even sure right now who would be second.
If they are, it's not close.
Yeah, I don't even know who's second in the MVP in the National League. I mean, in all honesty, I don't even.
Could it be what's our shortstop?
Arcia's not going to get any votes. Yeah.
You know,
but I mean, again, it's a runaway race right now for the National League MVP.
Down.
I mean, he's been phenomenal this year. And again, this is becoming everything that we could hope for. I got to get that card graded. I got to get that autographed rookie card of his graded that I've got I've been, you know, kind of sitting around with.
Let me ask you something. If you get it graded, right? Would that mean you should not get it autographed?
No. It's a Topps Heritage Topps Heritage Miners card from 2018.
Right.
And it's autographed by him.
Oh, it's already autographed.
Yeah, it's already autographed, but it's also a red autograph on the card, and it's serial number to like 75.
Okay.
So it's not just a regular autograph. It's a short print autograph because it's serial number to 75.
Gotcha.
You know, I don't know what number it is. I think it's like 28 of 75 or something like that, whatever it is. But anyway, it's I'll have to look up what that card is worth right now. But I got to get that thing graded and get it on auction. So
don't auction it yet. Sit on it for a little while.
Well, I mean, by the time I get it, I mean, look, it's going to be, you know, the grading process is so backlogged that it's about a 3-month turnaround time on getting a card graded from like PSA.
Right.
Like, I think it's like a 90-day window that when you submit all your entries, it's like 90 days before you get them back anyway.
Gotcha.
So, again, it won't be like I get it back in like a couple of days or something like that. You know, again, it'll be a while because they've been, I mean, again, the card business has exploded, right? I mean, because the card business is just taken off and exploded, people are cashing in left and right. I mean, we talk about those auctions all the time. I saw one where somebody had an entire set of the 1955 Topps graded.
Wow.
And there's like, I forget how many cards are in the set, but something like 204 cards are graded mint.
Wow.
I mean, think about what that set is worth.
So now when you get stuff graded, you have to send it off?
So you send it off to like PSA or one of the Beckett or one of the grading services.
Right.
And you can have it graded at all different levels as far as what is graded and how quickly they turn it around and this, that, and the other, right?
Right.
There's like a high priority or just a general, you know, grading. And then also, too, you know, you can have, you know, kind of it more detail graded, mm-hmm. or you can have just a raw grade put on it. So there's different forms. But I mean, you know, it averages probably, you know, probably, what? I don't know, $40-$50 maybe a card, maybe a little bit more than that, maybe sometimes $100 okay. a card to have it graded. But you send it up, you send it off to PSA and you know, you have it graded, and then they typically take about a 90-day window.
I'd be scared to send that off, man.
First off, you get it insured.
Okay.
I mean, so you have the package insured when you send it off.
Right.
I've got a guy that's a local card dealer that I'm going to take my stuff over to that he gets his stuff graded from PSA, and okay. he's got the in, and he'll take care of me on all that kind of stuff. So
okay.
So I've got somebody who, because again, I don't have time to just gather everything up. I mean, I'll gather up the cards and take it to him, but I don't have time to just mess around and
right.
fool around with everything else in life on it. So but again, I've got some fun stuff that I want to get that Willie Mays autograph card, you know, graded out and everything like that. So
you're probably sitting on a little something, Chuck.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've got a little bit of a stash, you know. Again, I started collecting baseball cards in 1978.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I started in 19. I mean, the first cards that I was exposed to were 78 and 79 tops.
Okay.
And then really got into it in 1980.
Gotcha.
I was always buying cards in 1980. So again, you know, it's been how many years is that? 40 something years?
40 I mean, some
you know,
years, yeah.
45 years or whatever it is. I mean, so I've been collecting for a long, long time. But I haven't collected for the last decade and a half, I mean, I've barely
right.
bought anything. Like I don't even know about a card in the last decade or something like that. Unless the only thing I bought for cards is I'm trying to complete my 1967 top set. That's my favorite
gotcha.
Top set. So I buy cards online to help complete that set. But, you know, again,
okay.
This has taken me 30 years to, you know, try to get this set complete, and I'm still not there. So anyway, all right, let's grab a quick What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, I'll be honest with you, Day-Day.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time maybe ever, I don't really know how to feel about this story. Okay? And I want to get your thoughts about it. Bet Online is now taking bets on the Special Olympics. You can now go on to Bet Online and wager on the Special Olympics. And Forbes has a whole article about this where they dive into the historic offering as 350,000 volunteers, coaches, and athletes head to Berlin to compete and celebrate the Special Olympics. And now for the first time ever, you can bet on the Special Olympics.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that.
I'm
not feeling that. But you know what? That's where we are as a country, bro.
I know. I mean, look, in one sense, we should take these athletes seriously. And again, they look at it as a competition, right? So I can understand that from the athlete's perspective, right? They've earned the respect of, you know, competing in these Olympics and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like there's something morally wrong with this. I can understand that if you're an athlete, you take this serious and, you know, it's not a problem to bet on these games.
Right.
But from a moral standpoint, I have trouble wrapping my arms around the idea of betting on Special Olympics athletes to win and somebody lose. I don't know. I mean, like I said, maybe for the first time ever, I don't really know exactly how to feel about this kind of story. Something feels kind of dirty about it.
Yeah.
When it's really not. It shouldn't be dirty, but it just feels like there's something about this story that just doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah, it's just, it's like, you know, there's certain things that should be left alone. It kind of feels like it falls in that category. Like, that's it, to your point. Yes, just let them compete. Like, why
right,
are we,
right,
why are we, you know,
you can celebrate the athletes, yeah, you can let them compete, you can enjoy the moment,
yeah,
but why do we have to profit?
Right.
Why does there have to be a profit factor in all of this?
Right.
You know, like I said, I mean, why do we have to have, why do we have to be able to profit off of the efforts of Special Olympic athletes? I mean, and again, at the same time, I say to myself, well, look, they are athletes. They are competing at the highest level of their sports and stuff like that for what they can do. You know, there is competition. You know, they want to win the gold medal just as much as any other athlete in the world. Why not?
Yeah.
But I have a hard time kind of wrapping my arms around this idea.
No, I'm with you 100%. Now, what would probably make me feel better in the situation if I knew, like, there was a large portion of proceeds, you know, made off of, you know, that went into gambling going back into Special Olympics?
Well, how often does that ever happen?
I know, but I'm just saying if that was something that, if that was reported along with it, that would kind of ease the blow. You know, but yeah, just the initial thought behind it is just like, why are we doing that? Like, we have enough that we can gamble on. Like, let them just have their thing, let them do what they do, and let's just, and like you said, enjoy them, celebrate them. But I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they feel about it.
Well, I mean, so from the article, and I haven't read the whole thing, but BetOnline.ag is the brand behind the bold move to offer the first ever Special Olympics odds. Operating globally in the online gaming sector for more than 25 years, BetOnline is known for setting the industry bar when it comes to creativity and innovation. Questions will certainly be raised, but why not the Special Olympics? This would seem to be a win-win-win for everyone except those who complain for a hobby or profession. Non-mainstream sports such as lacrosse, auto racing, and table tennis have experienced exponential growth over the last 5 years due to the ability to watch and wager.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in the Key Studios Friday night with you. Braves are just pounding on the Rockies. Day-Day, what does it say when the starting pitcher for the Rockies, this LeMet, I know he's lame, what does it say when he gives up 4 innings, 5 hits, 8 earned runs, and only raises his ERA by 1.5?
Really?
He only raised it by a run and a half.
Wow. I was going to say, that he's at a 13 now?
Yeah. No, he's 11 and a half.
11 and a half? Wow.
Yeah, 11, wow. 11, 5, 7.
Well, I guess because all the runs, you got to think about Darnell had two runs, so what?
Yeah, two run homers.
So four of the runs came on homers. So
yeah, he's given up 3 homers. He gave up 3 homers in 4 innings.
Yeah, six of the runs came on homers. The first run came on Ronnie. I think bad pitch, so Ronnie scored. And then fielder's choice. So, yeah, he really hasn't given up, a lot of hits.
Yeah, Darno's got 4 RBI. Rosario's homered in the game. He's got a couple of RBI. How about this stat? Ronald Acuna Jr. is the first player in MLB history with 15 homers and 30 stolen bases in his first 70 games of a season.
Wow.
How about that number?
Wow.
And again, we've always talked about this, the speed factor of this team. You know, the idea, I've always been a proponent. I've always wanted more stolen bases out of this team.
Yeah.
And now with the new rules and everything in place, Ronnie's running wild.
Yep. And that's why I wasn't like, I know at the beginning of the year when people were wondering what the lineup would be, I said I wouldn't mind seeing Harris in the 9 hole just because him coming behind Acuna, you know, I mean, like, that speed, that back-to-back speed like that. So yeah, I was okay with it. Like, getting to your point, I mean, they got some of the fastest base runners in the league.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Ronnie, Harris, Ozzy, I mean, those guys can motor around the bases. You know what I mean? So, I'm a stolen base kind of guy, right? I mean, I'm one of those old school guys. Again, when you can draw a walk and you end up in scoring position, you know, without having to get a ball out of the infield, that's what I'm looking for, you know. And then with all the mashers that they have with Olsen and Riley and Ozuna and Murphy and Darno, I mean, you got all that opportunity to just have one of those guys in scoring position to just bring him on home. Yep. So, you know, again, he's the MVP of the league right now. I don't even know who's second. I'm not even sure right now who would be second.
If they are, it's not close.
Yeah, I don't even know who's second in the MVP in the National League. I mean, in all honesty, I don't even.
Could it be what's our shortstop?
Arcia's not going to get any votes. Yeah.
You know what?
But I mean, again, it's a runaway race right now for the National League MVP.
Down.
I mean, he's been phenomenal this year. And again, this is becoming everything that we could hope for. I got to get that card graded. I got to get that autographed rookie card of his graded that I've got. I've been, you know, kind of sitting around with.
Let me ask you something. If you get it graded, right? Would that mean you should not get it autographed?
No. It's a Topps Heritage Topps Heritage Miners card from 2018.
Right.
And it's autographed by him.
Oh, it's already autographed.
Yeah, it's already autographed, but it's also a red autograph on the card, and it's serial number to like 75.
Okay.
So it's not just a regular autograph. It's a short print autograph because it's serial number to 75.
Gotcha.
You know, I don't know what number it is. I think it's like 28 of 75 or something like that, whatever it is. But anyway, it's I'll have to look up what that card is worth right now. But I got to get that thing graded and get it on auction. So
don't auction it yet. Sit on it for a little while.
Well, I mean, by the time I get it, I mean, look, it's going to be, you know, the grading process is so backlogged that it's about a 3-month turnaround time on getting a card graded from like PSA.
Right.
Like, I think it's like a 90-day window that when you submit all your entries, it's like 90 days before you get them back anyway.
Gotcha.
So, okay. So again, it won't be like I get it back in like a couple of days or something like
right,
that.
You right.
know, again, it'll be a while. Because they've been, I mean, again, the card business has exploded, right?
Right.
I mean, because the card business has just taken off and exploded, people are cashing in left and right. I mean, we talk about those auctions all the time. I saw one where somebody had an entire set of the 1955 Topps graded.
Wow.
And there's like, I forget how many cards are in the set. But something like 204 cards are graded mint.
Wow.
I mean, think about what that set is worth.
So now when you get stuff graded, you have to send it off?
So you send it off to like PSA or one of the Beckett or one of the grading services.
Right.
And you can have it graded at all different levels as far as what is graded and how quickly they turn it around and this, that, and the other, right?
Right.
There's like a high priority or just a general, you know, grading. And then also, too, you know, you can have, you know, kind of it more detail graded or you can have just a raw grade put on it. So there's different forms. But, I mean, you know, it averages probably, I don't know, $40-$50 maybe a card, maybe a little bit more than that, maybe sometimes $100
okay.
a card to have it graded. But you send it up. But I mean, you send it off to PSA, and you know you have it graded. And then they typically take about a 90-day window.
I'd be scared
to turn it
to
around.
Send that off, man. Give me a brick and mortar.
First off, you get it insured.
Okay.
I mean, so you have the package insured when you send it off.
Right.
I've got a guy that's a local card dealer that I'm going to take my stuff over to that he gets his stuff graded from PSA and
okay.
he's got the in and he'll take care of me on all that kind of stuff. So
okay.
So I've got somebody who, because again, I don't have time to just gather everything up. I mean, I'll gather up the cards and take it to him, but I don't have time to just mess around and
right.
fool around with everything else in life on it. So but again, I've got some fun stuff that I want to get that Willie Mays autograph card, you know, graded out and everything like that. So
you're probably sitting on a little something, Chuck.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've got a little bit of a stash, you know. Again, I started collecting baseball cards in 1978.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I started in 19. I mean, the first cards that I was exposed to were 78 and 79 Tops.
Okay.
And then really got into it in 1980.
Gotcha.
I was always buying cards in 1980. So again, you know, it's been how many years is that? 40 something years?
40
I mean, you know,
years, yeah.
45 years or whatever it is. I mean, so I've been collecting for a long, long time. But I haven't collected for the last decade and a half, I mean, I've barely
right.
bought anything. Like I don't even know about a card in the last decade or something like that. Unless the only thing I bought for cards is I'm trying to complete my 1967 top set. That's my favorite
gotcha.
Top set. So I buy cards online to help complete that set. But, you know, again,
okay.
This has taken me 30 years to, you know, try to get this set complete, and I'm still not there. So anyway, all right, let's grab a quick What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, I'll be honest with you, Day-Day.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time maybe ever, I don't really know how to feel about this story. Okay? And I want to get your thoughts about it. BetOnline is now taking bets on the Special Olympics. You can now go on to BetOnline and wager on the Special Olympics. And Forbes has a whole article about this where they dive into the historic offering as 350,000 volunteers, coaches, and athletes head to Berlin to compete and celebrate the Special Olympics. And now for the first time ever, you can bet on the Special Olympics.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that.
I'm
not feeling that. But you know what? That's where we are as a country, bro.
I know. I mean, look, in one sense, we should take these athletes seriously. And again, they look at it as a competition, right? So I can understand that from the athlete's perspective, right? They've earned the respect of, you know, competing in these Olympics and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like there's something morally wrong with this. I can understand that if you're an athlete, you take this serious and, you know, it's not a problem to bet on these games.
Right.
But from a moral standpoint, I have trouble wrapping my arms around the idea of betting on Special Olympics athletes to win and somebody lose. I don't know. I mean, like I said, maybe for the first time ever, I don't really know exactly how to feel about this kind of story. Something feels kind of dirty about it.
Yeah.
When it's really not. It shouldn't be dirty, but it just feels like there's something about this story that just doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's certain things that should be left alone. It kind of feels like it falls in that category. Like, that's it, to your point. Yes, just let them compete. Like, why are we, you know,
you can celebrate the athletes, you can let them compete, you can enjoy the moment, but why do we have to profit? Why does there have to be a profit factor in all of this?
Right.
You know, like I said, I mean, why do we have to be able to profit off of the efforts of Special Olympic athletes? I mean, and again, at the same time, I say to myself, well, look, they are athletes. They are competing at the highest level of their sports and stuff like that for what they can do. You know, there is competition. You know, they want to win the gold medal just as much as any other athlete in the world. Why not?
Yeah.
But I have a hard time kind of wrapping my arms around this idea.
No, I'm with you 100%. Now, what would probably make me feel better in the situation if I knew, like, there was a large portion of proceeds, you know, made off of, you know, that went into gambling going back into Special Olympics?
Well, how often does that ever happen?
I know, but I'm just saying if that was something that, if that was reported along with it, that would kind of ease the blow. You know, but yeah, just the initial thought behind it is just like, why are we doing that? Like, we have enough that we can gamble on. Like, let them just have their thing, let them do what they do, and let's just, and like you said, enjoy them, celebrate them. But I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they feel about it.
Well, I mean, so from the article, and I haven't read the whole thing, but BetOnline.ag is the brand behind the bold move to offer the first ever Special Olympics odds. Operating globally in the online gaming sector for more than 25 years, BetOnline is known for setting the industry bar when it comes to creativity and innovation. Questions will certainly be raised, but why not the Special Olympics? This would seem to be a win-win-win for everyone except those who complain for a hobby or profession. Non-mainstream sports such as lacrosse, auto racing, and table tennis have experienced exponential growth over the last 5 years due to the ability to watch and wager. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver wrote an op-ed in the New York Times nearly 9 years ago about how gambling would help grow the NBA, and that vision has proven true for his leagues as well as other pro associations like the NFL, NBA, and NHL. Okay, I get all of that, but there is a moral component. There is something, you know, about this. BetOnline sportsbook manager Adam Burns told Forbes, "If there are two or more people engaged in a sanctioned competition, we want to offer odds on it, and the Special Olympics is no different. For my money, I'd much rather watch and wager on the World Games where talented athletes are competing in real sports than some guy stuffing 60 hot dogs into his mouth. I get it. I understand both sides of the argument. It's just...
it just doesn't feel morally right.
Would I gamble on the Special Olympics? No. No, I don't think I would bet money on, you know, who's going to win or this, that, and the other, or, you know, drive up the odds on one particular athlete over another. But, again, to each his own. I mean, you know, do what you got to do, you know, in all of this. And I don't know how it's handicapped and things like that, just as far as the wagering of it, you know, just as far as how you create the odds of things. I mean, I don't know how you specifically create the odds, you know, if there's people that are more dominant in their sport than other people, but I don't know. It seems like a weird thing. Maybe it catches on, you know. I mean, great for the athletes. I mean, if it does, I mean, and it creates more interest, more buzz, and, you know, gets more eyeballs on what they do, if that's the case, you know, because, again, ancillary sports have, you know, had a boom in some of these things, and anytime you can bet on something, it's going to generate more interest. Hopefully that this is a byproduct of a good thing for the Special Olympics, but I'm not as sold on it. All right, more to come. Top of the hour, Chuck Renekia Studios, Sports Radio, Not to the Game, Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve. I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.